So we also know that jumping and dancing blessing and blessed is great. But it does not mean you will be blessed. Hallelujah. To be blessed, you have to do something. Hallelujah. Say it after me. To be blessed, I have to do something. Because God has done his part. You can hold on. You see, God has done his part by making sure that all the resources and capabilities of you becoming blessed are available to you. So all that God is requiring for you to do is to position yourself to become blessed so that the blessing becomes practically manifested in your life. Hallelujah. Let's go to, first of all, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. I'm reading from verses 1 to verse 8. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of their life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for this people shall not divide an inheritance to the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherewith thou shalt go. Verse 8, this is the key. This book of the law shall not depart out of their mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we say that to be blessed, you have to do something. And in this case, God is telling Joshua, after the death of Moses, that Joshua, for you to be successful and prosperous, for you to be blessed, you've got to do something. God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of their mouth. So the first thing God told Joshua is, Joshua, watch what you say. Say it after me. Watch what you say. Say it again. Watch what you say. The first thing God told Joshua is, Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of their mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. The second thing was meditation. And even then, God gave him a specific prescription. He says, meditate on it day and night, which requires some discipline. Right? You go to the doctor says, take this medicine 3 times a day. You better make sure you take it 3 times a day. Then the last thing God told Joshua is, thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. So 3 things. confession, meditation, and application. Say with me, confession, meditation, and application. Confession, meditation, application leads to success and prosperity. That's what God told Joshua. Now, to be able to confess, which means Joshua, you should say, he said, thou shalt this book of the law. So Joshua had to be careful to actually say God's word. Not say what Jerry Springer said. Or not say what somebody else is saying. Because success and prosperity will not come until you begin to internalize God's word and possess it as something valuable. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Nothing happens without the word of God. Hallelujah. Your success and prosperity will not come without the word of God. Your healing will not come without the word of God. Your breakthrough will not come without the word of God. So you and I should familiarize ourselves with what God is saying concerning your situation. Hallelujah. So you have to identify what God has said concerning your situation. Whether it's healing, whether it's financial need, God has said everything concerning your life. Right? Let's switch to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. And then go on to Second Peter chapter 1. Second Peter. After First Peter, the next is Second Peter. Right? Second Peter chapter 1. In Second Peter chapter 1, Susie didn't get it. All right. Okay, so Second Peter chapter 1, this is Peter the apostle also saying. He said, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. Verse 3. Let's go to verse 4. Whereby I given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hallelujah. Peter is saying that God has already given to us, past tense, everything that you and I need pertaining to this life. God has given unto us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything about you is contained in that verse. Anything concerning your life, God has already made provision. Hallelujah. But the key there, for Peter, is that he said, through the knowledge of him, Jesus. He said, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And one of the commonest picture that I can get is that, think about it. After God created Adam, right? Adam, before Adam was actually made, God had already prepared Eden for him. Think about it. Just like you're going to have a baby and you prepare for the baby's arrival. You don't wait till the day the baby is born and then you go to JCPenney's trying to find a crib, trying to find clothes. No. Trying to find baby food. No. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You always prepare for the baby's arrival. Am I right? Why is that? Because that is wisdom. Right? And these days, with technology, you even know the gender of the baby. So people buy the pink or the blue based on the baby's gender. Am I right? So in the same way, before you got here, God had already provided for you. Hallelujah. And that is the one concept that you and I should have it in our mind. That this God is my Father. He has prepared for you and I. Because the corn that grows on the field was not genetically engineered by those scientists. Everybody, when they arrived here on earth, there was everything God had created, everything. Even the fish in the sea. That's why I always say that. The amount you pay for the fish, it's not because the fisherman created the fish. It's the cost of him jumping into his canoe in the cold and going to the Alaska Atlantic Ocean somewhere there and getting you the salmon. That's the cost. The fisherman never created the fish. The farmer never created the corn. Everything you and I enjoy here on earth was already provided by God. Hallelujah. So when Peter says, according as his power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that is what Peter is talking about. Before you arrived here, the land was already there. Today, you've built your house on it. But it wasn't yours. So you remember when the Bible says Jesus is Lord, or Jesus is Lord of Lords, it means that he owns everything on here on earth. Hallelujah. So even though your name is on the title deed to your house, right? Reality, God owns that land. Hallelujah. And the house, the wood, where do you think the wood came from? Have you and I created trees before? We got to be realistic. We got to put our head on the ground and think. Hallelujah. So when we say Jesus is the King of the Kings and the Lord of Lords, there is a reason why we understand that the Bible says that the earth belongs to him. He created it. And so we should be a little bit more excited about coming to church to worship him rather than behaving that you own your house. You live in, but seriously speaking, everything was created by God. I don't care whether you are Bill Gates or you are Jeff Bezos. Right? So what we are saying is that God has blessed you, but in order to take that blessing and make it relevant to your situation, you got to do something. Because nothing happens until the word is spoken. That is what God told Joshua. You got to speak my word. Because Corinthians says that yet your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yes. Only God's word has the capability to become fruit for your consumption. Hallelujah. But we also know that sometimes in our life, you know, the blessing that we expect to walk in is not there. Let's be realistic. Sometimes the level of godliness or the level of prosperity that God expects us to walk in is not there. Right? We come to church every day. We pray, but it's not working. Hallelujah. So the question is, why is it not working? Why am I not spiritually productive? Why am I not generating desirable outcomes the way it should? Why am I not getting the job that I need? Why am I not getting the husband that I want? Why am I getting the lifestyle that I want to have? Because of what God says, he has given me everything. But sometimes you look at your life and the everything sometimes does not exist in your situation. Hallelujah. I want to suggest that the key is our heart. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 13. The parable of the sower and the seed. And remember, the parable of the sower and the seed is documented in all the three Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Three. We know that Bible says two or three witnesses and the matter is established. Right. But Jesus said in the parable of the sower, I'm not going to read all, but I'm more interested in Jesus' interpretation. He said, from verse 18 and 19, going down, he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. But he had no root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, some other translations say because of the word's sake, by and by he's offended. That is the second group. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Hallelujah. So I believe that the reason why some of us are not productive spiritually has to do with the condition of our heart. Hallelujah. The reason why some of us are not spiritually productive, let me repeat, is because of the condition of our heart. And as I researched a little bit, I realized that the Bible has said so many different things about you and I's heart. Hallelujah. For instance, the Bible says, in fact, Deacon Susie started with Matthew 6:21, right? He said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Hallelujah. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Hallelujah. If your heart is not right, no matter the inundation of the gospel, it will not go deep down into your heart. Hallelujah. So let's look at the first group of people. The Bible says they are the wayside people, right? These are the people, they heard the word, but because there was no protective or security detail, Satan was able to reach into their heart and extract the word of God. The wayside people. Hallelujah. So these are the people they are hearing, but Satan is taking the word from them. And if you do not have the word, you can't get anything from God. Because God does not respond to your emotions. God does not respond to your emotions, your crying or your feelings. God responds to his word. And the Bible says the first group of people, Satan was able to catch away that which was sown into his heart. Then there's the second group of people. They heard the word. They received the word with joy. But the Bible says they had no root. What does it mean? These people's life is characterized by some shallowness. They are not in depth. Right? For the word to produce fruit in your life, it has to go into the ground. Because Jesus said, except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. So what we see is that for such people, there is no contact between the soil and the seed. These are the stony ground. They had no root. And that is one human weakness that some of us have. And the Bible says that they had no root. And it's not only the fact that they have no root, but as soon as there is tribulation or persecution for the word's sake, they give up. Hallelujah. Tribulation and persecution have a way of generating conflict to see whether you really believe the word. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I think chapter 10, it says, he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold." Then he goes on to say, "Casting away imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Do you know that there are some things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God? For instance, science, technology. Science can exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And so some people believe in science, but they don't believe in God. And they forget that it was God who created the scientists. Hallelujah. The third group are people who are also, the Bible says, the cares of this world. They worry too much. Now remember, until the seed goes into your heart, there is no fruit. So these are people that the seed is embedded in their mind. It doesn't go into their heart. Because when the seed is sown, it has to make its movement to your mind before it goes into your heart. But when it gets into your mind, your intellectual understanding, you see, you need to even understand God's word, basically. You need to understand the basic principles. But you need your mind to even make basic comprehension of what the word of God is saying. But once you engage it in your mind, then it's translated to your heart. The heart is the deepest part of your being. And that's where God wants the word to be embedded so that it will generate fruit. But there's the third group of people. The Bible says when they hear the word of God, the cares of this world, anxiety, worry. Worry and anxiety take place in your mind. And because it takes place in your mind, it doesn't get to your heart. And if it doesn't get to your heart, there's no produce. Hallelujah. That is why Paul said in Philippians. Go with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul said, be careful for nothing. Other translations say, be not anxious. Are you with me? Be not anxious. Be careful for nothing means don't care about anything. Right? But in everything by prayer. So Paul is giving us a recommendation of what we got to do and what we don't have to do. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall what? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God will keep not only your minds, but more importantly, your hearts. So some of us, we don't see the desirable outcomes concerning God's blessing because we are on the second and the third category. We are destabilized through persecution, or we are so much full of the cares of this world. And the seed is not able to make its way into your heart. Hallelujah. That is why I'm saying that for most of us, the productivity that comes with God's word is not evident because the seed, God's word, does not find its way into your heart. Hallelujah. And physically speaking, the heart is the center of the human body, like we say. In fact, from what I'm reading, physiologically, the heart is even more important than the brain. Because the heart pumps blood, which carries life or food, energy, to every part of the body. But spiritually speaking, the heart defines and regulates your actions and your behavior. Because somebody said, I heard the saying, he said, watch your thoughts. They become your words. Watch your words. They become your actions. Watch your actions. They become your habits. Watch your habits. They become your character. Watch your character. They become your destiny. So God told Joshua, Joshua, you need to be able to control your mind. Paul said, Romans chapter 12, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, and you got to renew your mind. Because until you renew your mind, see, when your mind is renewed, when the word of God is ministered, it has a free flow through your mind to your heart. But if your mind is not renewed, the word of God, when the word of God is ministered, your mind has a way of filtering, rejecting the word of God because it doesn't make sense. But faith is not of natural sense. Faith is of the spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. But when you hear the word of God and your mind is trying to rationalize how God is going to make it happen, your mind is trying to argue, you know, bring some logic and some reasoning. Many times in Jesus' ministry, he indicted the Pharisees that, why are you reasoning? And that was their problem. They were always trying to, in their little mind, try to figure out how God is going to perform a miracle. But they forgot that God was operating with spiritual laws. Hallelujah. And a little bit of research, I found out that there's so much that God has said concerning the heart. Because we now know that the heart regulates your actions and your behaviors, your thoughts. For instance, in Matthew, the Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, right? And the heading says that in Matthew 5:21, it says that you have heard that it was said of the old, you shall not murder, and whosoever shall murder shall be in danger of judgment. Matthew 5:27. So adultery, murder, everything begins in the heart. Hallelujah. Everything that you would do, your actions, your behaviors, begins in your heart. That is why you have to learn to keep your heart. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13. The Bible says, Jeremiah said, and you will seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Hallelujah. Your heart. So your ability to even find God and gain access to him is determined by your heart. Let's go on. The Bible has a lot to say about the heart. Remember in the Old Testament, we read in Exodus, the Bible says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Do you remember that scripture? In other words, God created conditions for Pharaoh to want to make certain catastrophic decisions. And his hardening of heart is what destroyed the Egyptians. Right? Even when they went through the Red Sea, he wanted to chase them. You see, if I was there and I'm chasing an enemy, right? And the sea opens. That should tell you something. Right? Because seas never open. Right? So the fact that Pharaoh, in his stupidity, chased the children of Israel through... I mean, when you read, do you sit down and pause? You are chasing these people. The people are scared, slaves. But some way, somehow, the sea opened for them. And you are going after them. Hallelujah. But you know what? I don't know, but the slaves, if I was a slave, I'm running away. I'm not following no Pharaoh. Right? But they followed him and all of them perished. Why? Because Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Hallelujah. Listen. Psalm 51 verse 10. When David committed the sin with Bathsheba, he prayed and said, God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. David recognized that it was his heart that caused him to commit that adulterous relationship. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 51. Your heart. So now I understand why the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The decisions you and I will make, good decisions, bad decisions, emanate from the heart. The actions you and I will engage in start from the heart. Our thoughts, everything starts from the heart. So Jesus said, let me quote Jesus before I even forget. He said, and this is mind-boggling. He said, Matthew 12, 34, he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So don't tell me what you said came from your mind. That is why people are prosecuted or indicted based on the testimony, their own testimony. Hallelujah. Jesus says, for an evil man out of the good treasure of his heart produces good things. Right? Matthew 12, 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Your heart. So what I'm asking you this morning, what's in your heart? Right? And not only what's in your heart, guard your heart. Because any spiritual, desirable outcome that you want starts from your heart. In in 1 Samuel chapter 12, God sends Prophet Samuel to Jesse's house to try and identify one of his sons to become king. And the prophet Samuel, with all his credentials, is looking on people's physique, how good they are. See, you can't see their heart. Then he goes through Jesse's 7 sons, all of them who were in the house at that time. And prophet Samuel tells God, God, who do you call, send me to anoint? And he goes to Jesse and says, do you have any more sons? He said, oh, the last one is, you know, he's a shepherd. He's somewhere in the wilderness somewhere. So call him. As soon as David walked in, God told Samuel, this is the man you have to anoint. Because what? He's a man after my own heart. And David was anointed to become king. So what am I saying? Even when it comes to God recruiting people and putting them in positions of power and authority, God looks on the heart and not on the mind. Hallelujah. So you understand why some people are not going anywhere? Until they change their heart. So you understand why people are not becoming productive? We pump you up with the word, with faith. We have to start preparing for the heart. Because remember, even when before the sower will throw the seed, the ground has to be prepared. How many of you know that? The ground has to be prepared, cultivated, sometimes even fertilized, for the seed to grow and grow with health and productivity. Hallelujah. So you and I have got to watch our heart. I have a couple of minutes. Let me shift gears to the epistles and see what God said. There's so much here. I'm going to continue next week. But let me look at Even Acts chapter 7, verse 23. The call of Moses. Remember Moses? Moses spent the first 40 years of his life raised as a prince. Right? And if you are Pharaoh's kid, nobody is richer than you. Right? So Moses was raised as a prince. First 40 years of his life. And the second 40 years of his life, according to Acts chapter 7, 23, the Bible says it came into his heart. Look with me. Acts chapter 7, verse 23. The Bible says, now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. You see, he had been trained and groomed with the Egyptian identity. But you and I knew that he was a Hebrew. And I don't know whether at 40 years, you know, because if you condition someone for such a long time, Moses grew up thinking he was an Egyptian prince because he lived in the palace. I mean, the mother who was supposed to be the princess, the daughter of Pharaoh, he probably called him mother. But God had to intervene. And when God intervened, the Bible says it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. I don't know how it happened. This is what the scripture is saying. So your heart will communicate your identity to you, what you should be and what you are. So no matter what the people around you can say, sometimes you know. Listen to me. I've heard stories of people growing up in the same household, same parents, and then somewhere, somehow, years later, they found out that one of them was not the child of the parents. The boy was not the biological parents. And the person said, the victim said, I knew there was something wrong. I knew I was different. Anybody could relate to that? So I knew there was something. But there was no evidence, so maybe they kept their mouth shut. Only to find out years later that the biological parents that they taught were not really the biological parents. Hallelujah. Your heart will never lie to you if it is aligned with the word of God. So, you got to guard your heart. The heart regulates the flow of information from the outside world. So when you consume information, whether through TV or through, you know, other devices, you have to make sure that you only filter and retain the good and reject those that are bad. But sometimes we don't have the ability to discern what is good. So sometimes you stay away. But your heart will define your character. And your character will define your destiny. So the reason why we are not spiritually productive, some of us, has to do with the fact that our heart is not right. Hallelujah. Let me give you one last scripture. Then we'll go on. We will end. In Acts chapter 8, I'm in the New Testament now. In Acts chapter 8, there was this guy called by Jesus, right? You remember by Jesus? And Peter was, you know, laying hands on people, and people were being healed, and all kinds of good things were going on. Acts chapter 8, Let me read from verse 14. This is, I think, the Philip went to preach in the Samaria, right? And the Bible says there was this great revival going on. People were saved. People were being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they sent Peter and John to go and really reinforce the ministry begun by Philip in Samaria. And in verse 14 of Acts chapter 8, you know, he says that now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. You see, he didn't understand what was going on. And because he was operating in the Babylonian system, he thought that the gift of God could be exchanged for money. Now listen to what Peter told him. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, you know, apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered the money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thine heart is not right in the sight of God. That is what Peter diagnosed. Peter said, your heart is not right. So Peter was speaking to Simon's motivation. Right? Motivation is that extra energy that defines for you sometimes why and how you do certain things. Some people only respond to something because of the economic outcome. Even with giving, right? So Peter is telling Simon, your heart is not right, thinking that you could exchange the gift of God with money. And then Peter went on to say, then Simon said, pray for me that all the curses you pronounce will not come on me. His heart was not right. Hallelujah. And let me close by saying that the reason why you and I have to guard our hearts on a daily basis is because we are almost always exposed to things that can corrupt our hearts, to information that can corrupt our heart, to knowledge that can adulterate our even thoughts. You have to keep your heart. Because these days, think about it, you are driving on the road, somebody puts a billboard sign. When they speak good things, you meet, it ministers to you. When they speak bad things, sometimes your heart also retains it. And before you realize, unconsciously, it becomes part of your repertoire. You have to guard your heart. So the heart of your faith is guarding it and understanding God's word, like we saw in Matthew chapter 13. When you do not understand God's word, the enemy comes in and snatches God's word from your heart. You got to guard your heart. I believe that if we guard our hearts, we will be on the next step to becoming spiritually productive. Because the word of God, according to the sower and the seed parable, has to move, it's spiritual. It has to move through your mind and to your heart. When it gets here, the Bible says, you know, you have to renew your mind. If your mind is not renewed, the cares of this life, the worries of the earth, become an impediment to the flow. And until the word gets into your heart, there is no fruit. Hallelujah. So watch your heart. Let's bow down.